Thanks for joining us here at Faith Assembly for our weekly podcast. We're so excited you're tuning in this week. To learn more about our church, you can visit us online at myfaithassembly.org. Join us live or connect with us on Facebook.
So, Mike, well, good morning. Welcome to church. You made it. And we're glad you're here. And I hope you will take a moment. If you do not get our weekly email, just letting you know what's happening here at Faith Assembly and what's coming up. Hope you'll fill out the Connect card and the easiest way, stay connected. And as Pastor Mike mentioned, our week of refresh, that's going to be happening. And in preparation for that, this Wednesday, we are having a sacred assembly. And just simply that means we're going to come together in a time of prayer and worship and just around God's word, preparing our hearts. That will be 10 days out from our week of refresh. How many know when there's something important, you get ready for it? You prepare yourself. And there are folks that are preparing for a Super Bowl next week, and I'm sure they're prepping. I don't imagine that the teams are just going about their business whatever way they want, and then they'll just show up on Sunday and play the game. They're preparing and making themselves ready. For us, we believe that a week of refresh, just a time to experience God in a deeper way, to know Him intimately. And so we want to prepare our hearts, even as we sang this morning, make room. We want to make room for you, for Him, for His work to be done. And so that'll be on this coming Wednesday. So I encourage you to come and join us. And then we'll be kicking off from there 10 days of prayer. And that'll be online that we'll have every day and just a post and a video sharing online of just encouraging you to join us in prayer and looking forward to our week of refresh. Daniel chapter 3 is where we're going to be today. And we are continuing this series straightforward. And our goal or desire is to pursue the purpose that God has, and we would move into the destiny, because we're confident of this, that God is not finished working on the earth, that God is not done moving in and through the church, and that wherever we are, that God is still working and moving. And Daniel chapter 3, I love the book of Daniel. If you know, this afternoon there's no football game. It's snowing, so just stay home, eat some soup, and read the entire book of Daniel. You might say, well, that's just overwhelming. Okay, do the first 5 or 6 chapters and break it up. I love this entire book named after Daniel, who is one of the 10,000, about 10,000 Jewish people who were exiled from Israel during Babylon's reign when they came and overtook. And so they're in captivity. And Daniel is one of those who it's written by him, and much of what is written there are words that God has given him, experiences that he has. And Daniel, of course, has favor with God, and he has favor with man. And because of his favor, he's positioned to a place of rule. He has a place of authority, and he's given favor. And along the way, he says, don't forget my friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so because David rises, they come to a place of position with him. How many know that it's important who you surround yourself, because you will rise and fall compared to the people, or related to the people that you surround yourself. You surround yourself with the right people, you'll rise. You surround yourself with the wrong people, you'll fall. And so Daniel, of course, is in this position, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego rise with him. The favor started in chapter 2. In chapter 2, King Nebuchadnezzar has a dream, and his dream troubles him. And so he calls for all his magicians, soothsayers, and Chaldeans, and those who are astrologers. Their job is to be able to know the secrets. And so he calls all of them together, and he says, tell me the meaning of my dream. And they, of course, said to him, we will. Tell us the dream. He says, nope. You're not going to pull one over on me, so you're not going to be able to just interpret what you think. You have to tell me what dream I had, and then tell me what it means. They replied to him. They said to him, King, no one can do this. Only the gods can make this known. There's no one. He says, well, then if only the gods can, and if you can't help me, I don't need you anymore. So he makes a decree for all of those people who fall in that category to be killed. Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are a part of that group. And so Daniel gets word of, hey, we're about to lose our life. Daniel says to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you guys pray, ask God for favor, because I'm going to go talk to the king. And as he goes and he talks to the king, he says to the king, I know a God who is able to answer your question. And the king says, very well. He says, then tell me the dream. Daniel tells him the dream. You had a dream about a statue. The head was gold, the body was silver, and down below it had bronze and copper mixed at the bottom. You had a dream, and here's the meaning of the dream. King Nebuchadnezzar says, wow, you must be Belshazzar, which means a god that had the spirits of the gods. They dwell in you. So because you have the spirit of the gods in you, Daniel, I'm going to put you in position and put you in my court. Daniel says, well, if you're going to do that for me, don't forget my three friends. Because how many know no one rises on their own? Because Daniel knew I'm only here because my three friends were fasting and praying and asking God. And so while they were praying, God was moving and God spoke to me. I didn't get here because of me. I got here because of God working in us. He says, so don't forget my friends. So Nebuchadnezzar says, very well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you can be in control of the province of Babylon. So Daniel's in the courts. They're working in the kings as king's advisors in Babylon. We now fast forward to chapter 3. There in chapter 3, everything is good. Daniel gives the dream. The dream comes true. Because the beginning of chapter 3, now here is the dream that Daniel interpreted. Nebuchadnezzar builds a statue 90 feet tall, 9 feet wide. He builds a statue on the plains and he says to everybody, he says, come and when you hear the music, bow down and worship. Oh, and by the way, if you don't bow down and worship, we have a nice fire, not to keep you warm, but to take your life. So if you don't bow down and worship my gods, then you will die. This is where we pick it up in chapter 3. Daniel, we don't know where he is. He's either on king's business or he's in the courts, but why he's left out of this, we don't know. I would assume he's probably doing business and so he's away, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who are the three of the Jewish men who are there, they have this encounter. And so they learn, one of the individuals that are there, when everybody bows down, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not bow down. Someone in the crowd saw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and said, hey, they're not bowing. So they took it on them as their job to go tell the king, hey, king, those three Jews. Now, they weren't concerned because they wanted the king's gods to be honored. They wanted to take advantage because there are individuals in the world that the best way to get by is to take someone else down. The best way to get up is to tear someone else down. And so their job is, we don't like the Jews. They came in, they took our positions. These are outsiders. We don't want them here. So someone sees this happen and takes it upon themselves to go to Nebuchadnezzar and say, hey, those three Hebrew children, those three Jews that have come in that you put in charge, they did not bow. This is where we pick it up in Daniel chapter 3. Y'all following? Everybody good? All right, Daniel chapter 3. Why don't you stand with me? I want to pick it up in verse 13 and Daniel chapter 3. If you're watching from home, man, thanks for joining us on this snowy day. And it is not too much snow. And we're from Western Pennsylvania, so we know how to handle this. This is good. We're surviving. But if you are home, thanks for joining us today and being a part of worship with us. Here's what it says in Daniel chapter 3, verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar flew into a rage and ordered that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought before him. When they were brought in, Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you refuse to serve my gods or to worship the gold statue that I have set up? I will give you one more chance to bow down and worship the statue that I have made when you hear the sound of the musical instruments. Isn't he so kind? I'll give you one more chance. I'll give you one more chance to defy your convictions. I'll give you one more chance to defy the word of God that you live by. I'll give you another chance. How many know the enemy will always give you another chance? He says, I'll give you another chance to bow down. And if you don't, if you refuse, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. And then, what God will be able to rescue you from my power? Notice here, from my power. Because the spirit of religion is never about religion. It's about what I can use to have my power. The spirit of religion is about me. It's about what I want, what I think, what I prefer, what I desire. It's about me. But oh God, we're making room for you. So tear down and shake up the ground of all my religion, all my traditions, whatever. I want you above everything else. And so he says, what God will be able to rescue you from my power? I love this. Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to rescue us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want you to know. We want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statues that you have set up. Father God, I pray today that you would give us a confident joy to stand in your word. God, that we would stand firm in what your word has said, that God, it would not just be a word that is in our ears, but God, I pray it be a word that is in our soul and our spirit today, God, that would help us to stand firm in you, not in our own strength, but in the power of your presence today. In Jesus' name, come on, if you agree with that today, would you say amen? Amen. And you may be seated this morning. We're wrapping up this series entitled Straightforward, and as we've already mentioned, our belief and conviction is this, is that God is not finished working on the earth. And so therefore, if we're going to move straight forward into the destiny, we believe that God has a designed destiny for his church, for us, the body of Christ. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, we're not meant to get there on our own. It's the body of Christ together, pursuing what God wants. And if we're going to do that, we're going to have to stay close to him in every season. We're going to have to be at a place undeterred and to remain undeterred and moving forward in him. We're also going to have to march in the truth of his righteousness, because it's his righteousness that blesses, and where the blessing of the Lord is, he provides. And today, I want to talk about having a confident joy as we move straight forward, as we move forward, not getting deterred, not getting distracted or set aside, but that we would have a confident joy moving forward. This is my prayer. I know the assignment this morning, the assignment is this, that God wants you to walk with a confidence and with a hope that you might be in the fire, but you can walk free in the presence of God, even in the midst of flames. I want to share today from this title, just simply freedom in the flames, that there's a freedom in the flames, that God wants you and I to have a confident joy in the midst of whatever we're walking with, in the midst of whatever we're facing, that we can have the confidence to face oppositions that might come against us. If you're taking notes, that's the title, Freedom in the Flames, and because we know that all the godly people take notes and are receiving from the Lord this morning. Nobody laughed at that. Somebody's like, I'm offended. I'm out of here. You're welcome. I don't know. All right. This idea of moving straight forward, that we can find freedom in the flames, you've obviously heard it said not to play with fire, and you know the reality or the importance of not playing with fire. Because if you play with fire, you could hurt yourself or hurt someone else. So don't play with fire. But let me give you another reason not to play with fire, because fire will always prove the truth. Don't play with fire, because fire always has the ability to tell the truth. And when you play with fire, fire will always reveal what's on the inside. Literally, the fire giving evidence and proving what is taking place on the inside. Last week, we ended the message last week talking about this season that we're in, that I believe that God is calling or bringing the church to a time of testing. He's testing the faithfulness of his people, not to see whether or not you deserve his favor, but to see if we're willing or able to carry the favor of God. Not if we deserve it. God is not looking at you and I to see if we deserve, because how many know in ourselves, none of us deserve anything. It is only the grace and the goodness of God. God is not a God with punishment. There will be a punishment on the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that is the punishment that you have to fear only if you're not in Christ. If you're not in Christ, then you're on the wrong side of the fire. If a fire is moving, that fire can only cause you to fear if you're in the wrong side of the fire. If you're in the path of the fire, then you better fear. But if you're on the side of the fire that the fire is going ahead of you, how many know then you have nothing to fear that the fire is making a way? And so you may be in the world that we know that the world is going to burn one day. As we know it, this all that is here, there is a burning that will happen. But for those who are in Christ, we're on this side of the fire, and the day of judgment is not a day of fear, because perfect love casts out fear. We stand in confidence that our hope is found in Jesus Christ. Is there anyone confident in the place today knowing that your hope is found in Jesus Christ? This confidence comes alive in us, that when we know who we are in Christ, we know who he is in us, that we can have a freedom, that there's a freedom. We're free of worry. We're free of fear. We're free of having to be concerned and overwhelmed, that his fire is in and moving ahead of us, that even in the flames, you can put us in whatever flame you want, because the God we serve has a fire that's a lot greater. That the fire of God is greater than whatever fire that we might face and whatever might be taking place around us. That this is our desire, that we would not just be tested to see if we deserve it, because we don't deserve it, but God wants to see if we're willing. Are we willing to trust him? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. That word value means ability to hold weight. Are we able to hold weight? Are we able to stand in the place that God is calling us? That when you go through the fire, it proves two things in us. Number one, it proves what we're made of, or it proves what's in us, and it proves what God is able to give us. That when we go through the fire, it proves, it's a proving ground. It proves what we're made of, or proves what's in us, and it proves what God is able to give us. The fire is not punishment from the past, but it's preparation for the future. That when God's fire of testing, when we go through testing, it's not punishment from the past, it's testing for the future. God is testing and preparing us and making us ready for what it is that he wants to do. James said this, James the brother of Jesus, in James chapter 1, he said, consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. Why? Because the testing of your faith, the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and this perseverance causes you and I to be complete, not needing anything, not lacking anything, not needing anything, just like David. And I believe this is where God wants us to be, that we can be like David when he said in the Psalms, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I have everything I need. I don't have to worry or fear because God is all that I need, and in him I'm complete. So you can threaten to take what you want. The fire may take something from me, but the God I serve is not the God who takes away, but the God who gives. And if anything gets taken away, it's because God's making room for something greater and something more on the earth and in my life. That there is a positioning of what God is wanting to accomplish and what God is wanting to do. That we know the confidence of a person is really shown when they're under pressure. You know how a person's confidence really is by how they react. And there's two reactions that we see in this text. We've got King Nebuchadnezzar. I might call him King Nebi just because it's a little shorter. I don't know. Kind of makes you think, you know, about somebody who's just Nebi. You know, that like get your own business. But not entirely all of that. But here's King Nebuchadnezzar. He responds a certain way, much different than Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When things aren't going his way, here's the problem. I built a statue for you to bow down and worship, which I'm going to say it's to the gods, but it's really not about the gods, it's about me. Because who is going to rescue you from me? And so he says, I want you to bow down. They don't bow down. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego don't bow down. And now things are not going Nebuchadnezzar's way. So how does Nebuchadnezzar respond? Nebuchadnezzar flies into a rage. Have you ever met anybody that flies into a rage? I mean, that just gives you right there the obvious sense of you don't have confidence in what you really stand for. Because if you really did, then you wouldn't have to power grab and try to control it. Because if you were confident in what you really believed, you could be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and say, oh, king, we don't need to defend ourselves. There's an ability to stay cool, calm, and collective in the pressure and the place that we're in. Because when there is the ability to remain calm, there's a confidence that we have. And the confidence is you can do what you want, search what you want, see what you see, but the proof is going to be found out. And I know what side I'm on, and I'm standing on the side of truth. And so send me through the fire, but the fire is not going to scare me because the God I serve is greater than the fire that you might put in front of me. And so there becomes this confidence that we know who we are, and we're not shaken by the circumstances and things that might be around us, that we know in whom we believe. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have this confidence, and their response is, we don't need to give a defense in this matter. And in this place of recognizing that our confidence is shown by being able to remain calm, to have a confidence about us, to know that our hope is in God, true devotion gives a sense of calm and resolve. That where there's a true devotion, there's a sense of calm and resolve that I know in whom I believe. I am confident in this. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had the favor of man. Now the favor of man put them in position. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego realized the favor of man is nothing compared to the favor of God. And the world or the church is at a place, and we've got to ask ourselves, yes, like it says in the book of Acts, that we want to have favor with God and with man. But be careful when the favor with man becomes more important than the favor with God. Be careful when we lay down the principles and the truths of God's word just to accommodate and have favor with man. And sometimes part of being straightforward is in a day being direct. And being direct is saying things that to some might seem offensive. But the truth will sometimes offend. And the truth is this, there is no way to heaven, no other way to heaven except through Jesus Christ. That is a statement of fact and truth because there is only one who died on the cross and rose from the dead. This is not just accommodating and trying to feel good and creating just a message. No, this is the absolute truth. The only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ, and it's not Jesus and something else. It's Jesus alone. Here is Nebuchadnezzar, and he's okay with God. He's just not okay with only God. He'll take God, but he wants his other stuff with it. And there comes moments when we have to ask ourselves, is my faith in God? Because I believe God gave me what I have. But now are we serving what we have and forget to serve God? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are in a position where God gave them favor with Nebuchadnezzar. They had position. Now that position's about to be lost. Now they had to make a decision. Will I serve my God or the things God has given me? And I believe in this hour and in this moment, this is really an identifying thing for us, that we would surrender this place of surrendering to God with true devotion, allowing this freedom in the flames, not worrying of what might come. We have freedom in the flames when this occurs, when we live with consistency between work and life, between word and deed, and between theory and practice. When that consistency comes together, that's a place of freedom. That there's a freedom in the flames, no matter what happens, because I know that God will prove himself and do his work in my life. And this is our confidence today, that I don't have to fear because I know that God is with me. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are now, later on, go back and read this today because there's no football and it's snowing and you want to enjoy the afternoon, read the book of Daniel. Go to chapter 5 at least. But in the end of chapter 3, we find that they were put in the fire. And two people that carried them to the fire, they bound them up and put them in the fire. But the two guards who carried them to the fire died because the heat was that extreme. That it was so hot that they died on the way. And so it's a furnace that should have killed them. But later on, Nebuchadnezzar says, didn't we put three men in the fire? But now I see four, and one of them looks like a son of the gods. And he says that he recognizes, and then he calls him to come out. And here is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego going through the fire, all because they didn't choose the favor of man above the favor of God, but chose the favor of God above all things, and knowing that God will protect. Let me give you just three things this morning as we move through this today. And I want to encourage you in your confident joy, that you can have a confident joy in the midst of whatever you're walking through, that you can know this freedom in Christ. Number one, that when we allow this confidence, it takes us to a new place, that we can go from defenseless to defended. From defenseless to defend it. Here's what the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, we don't need to defend ourselves in this matter. It's not that we don't need to. They're saying it's not that we can't. There's nothing that we could. There's stuff we could say, but what we have to say has no value, and there's no defense. I don't need to defend myself. Can I say to you today, you don't need to defend yourself. Your God is your defender. Your God is the one who will go before you. Defense. And here's when we become defensive, when we become people who feel the need to defend, what we really do is we make the problem worse than it was to begin with. There are times when it's just the wisdom is learning to be quiet and learning to just stand in confidence and let God prove what will be. I love the advice given from Gamaliel in the New Testament. They're trying to stop the move of Jesus, the way, what's taking place in the New Testament. And he says to them, he says, if this is of God, you'll never stop it. If it's a man, it won't last. So this is a man, it's not even going to go anywhere. But if it's of God, let it be, let God have his say in your life. Let God be your defender. And if God is not our defender, too often times we become defensive because we're easily offended. And the moment we become offended is the moment we rise up to protect ourselves. I don't, and here's the way I don't protect myself, is because I'm not easily offended. Can I tell you, Jesus said in the last days, you'll know it's the last days because men will hate one another. That word hate means to be offended. Welcome to 2020 and 21. Because we're so easily offended. Everything's offensive. Everything's an issue. Everything's a problem. This is the day that we live in. And so because we're easily offended, we rise up with defense. And because we rise up with defense, we just yell across the lines and picket and say a bunch of stuff but never fix any problems. We just say a lot of stuff. We make a lot of noise. I don't have to defend anything. My defense comes from the Lord. I don't have to defend or put up a fight. And sometimes as we hear this, it's like we do have to put up a fight, because if we don't put up a fight, then they'll take stuff from us and we'll settle. I want to challenge you with this. When not putting up a fight feels like you're settling, is it really that you're not settling, but you just haven't felt yourself or allowed yourself to surrender? What you call settling is really just not surrendering. You say, well, I don't want to settle. I don't want to just settle. No, maybe it's not settling. Maybe it's God teaching you how to surrender and allow him to work in your situation. Because if you fight for yourself, then you get your victory. But if God fights for you, you receive the victory that comes from God. Amen. And when we allow the victory that comes from God, I want to challenge some of us with that thought. There's this rise in us that I got to fight. I got to stand up for it. Yeah, I know I got to stand up for truth, but sometimes I really don't need to stand up for truth as much as I think I need to stand up for truth, because I don't know the last time you checked, but God doesn't need a defender. God never showed up to the courtroom with a defense attorney. God did never show up in any place, but he is the ultimate judge. He sits on the throne. So don't think you need to come and fight for God, because when you think you're fighting for God and fighting for the truth, it's really you're not at a place, and you told yourself, well, I don't want to settle. I don't want things to be bad. I don't want things to go. No, it's that you haven't learned how to surrender your life to God and trust God through the fire. Amen. That doesn't sound comfortable, but it's the truth. And sometimes we're fighting for ourselves on our own, in our own strength. Can I just say to someone today, stop fighting. Put down the weapons. Stop fighting in your own strength. Let him walk with you and be your defense, that he will defend you. He'll bring you to a place of overwhelming and taking care of whatever's in front of us, that we can go from defenseless to defended. We can go from knowing him as a revealer to a rescuer. Notice Nebuchadnezzar, of course, is asking them a question. He says, what God is able to rescue you from my hand? This is the same king who in chapter 2 had an encounter when he said, no one knows my dream, and so there's no one who can tell me. Daniel comes in and does the very thing. Now, here is Daniel in a place, or the king knows and recognizes that the God of Daniel is able to reveal things, but I don't know he's able to rescue. Isn't it dangerous when you know God halfway but not all the way? When you know the God who's able to reveal, but you don't know the God who's able to rescue. And sometimes we know the God who reveals things to us, but we know the God of revelation, but we haven't fully met the God of salvation. And there's sometimes we know God, but we know he can reveal. He can reveal himself to us. There's a dangerous thing when all God does is reveal, because if the only thing God does is reveal, then we have the ability to hear, but we don't have the faith to do it. And if we become hearers of the word and not doers, how many know that's a problem? And too often we know God as the revealer, but we haven't humbled ourselves. Because here's what we do in our defense. In our defense, we puff up our chest and say, I am confident, I have this, I can do it. No, you're not confident. You're putting up a show and acting like a rooster, whatever that is, you know, putting yourself out there like you got all this. No, you're not confident. You're just afraid of vulnerability, and you have, in fact, you're showing how little your confidence is because you're not willing to be vulnerable, because if you are vulnerable, then you wouldn't have anything to prove, because you know your God has already proven in your life. So put your tail away, stick your chest back in, and don't strut your stuff like you think you have it all, because God's not looking for people who have this kind of confidence. He's looking for this kind of people who have meekness, who have a confidence to know, I don't need to speak, I don't need to fight, I don't need to defend, I don't need to do anything, because my God will go before me. That when we have this confidence that we can stand in him, that he's the one who is defending. Don't know the revealer, the one who's able to give revelation, and not know him completely as the God who's able to rescue. And the God who's able to rescue means this, that I can stand vulnerable. And I become vulnerable, and the fire's getting close, and the fire's about to overtake me. I know the fire is greater than I am, but the God I serve is greater than the fire. And so I'm willing to become vulnerable, because I trust God. You know, you're putting yourself out there where if you fail, you look like a fool. I'd rather look like a fool for God, trusting God, than to cover my trails and look like I've got it all together just to do what everybody thinks ought to be done. In that case then, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego should have just bowed like everybody else. Because you know why? God would understand. God gives authority. God wants you in this position, and God wouldn't want to take you out of the position. God wants this for you. No. None of that matters above the principles of honoring God and keeping him first. And when we put him in that place of recognition, that place of honor, he will rescue. and that we would know him as the rescuer. Here's what keeps us from knowing him as the rescuer. Not only did Nebuchadnezzar have an encounter with the dream and then did not know God as greater, he just knew him as a revealer, and then he knows him as a rescuer because God saves Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But by the time you get to chapter 5, now it's Nebuchadnezzar's son who is in charge. And Nebuchadnezzar's son is in the same boat of ignorance and arrogance. And here's what Daniel says to him in Daniel chapter 5, verse 22. He's talking about the writing on the wall when God is trying to get his attention and tell him that he's come to the end of his kingdom. And this is what Nebuchadnezzar's son's issue was. You are his successor, Daniel said. You are the king's successor, O Belshazzar, and you know all this. You knew that God was the revealer. You knew that God rescued us from the fire. You knew what God has done, yet you have not humbled yourself. If you're going to know God as the rescuer, it requires us humbling ourselves before God and not putting up our defense, but allowing God to prevail in our midst. I'm going to ask the worship team to come and help us close. Let me give you the last one as they come, and here's the last one. It's this, that when we walk through the fire, we know the freedom in the fire, that we have a God who takes us from provision to promotion. That a God who takes us from provision to promotion. You can know that God is the protector, but God is not just protecting you, he is preparing a place for you. God is making things ready and preparing for you. When you walk through the fire, it's not punishment from your past, it's preparation for your future. Let go of what you have. And God, in his place of surrender, if we're going to surrender to God, if we're going to go through the fire, if we're going to trust God, God is not wanting to take anything from you. He's wanting to give you something. Amen. It's not what God wants from you. It's what God has for you. That there is this God who has something greater. And if something greater is to be received, we've got to let go of what we're holding on to trust God for greater things. And sometimes you're walking and it feels like, God, you're taking this from me. God, you're walking in this place. No, God is walking you into something of provision, and he's making a promotion for you. Notice if you get to the end of chapter 3, and let me just read it. The king, of course, sees that they're in there, and the king says, we put in 3, but now there's 4 in the fire. And the king gets as close as he can, because remember, the fire's so hot, he can't even get that close. And the king says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, surely your God has rescued you. Come out of the fire. And by the way, they came out. They weren't even burnt. Didn't even smell like smoke on them. Because that's the God. But notice this. They're standing in a place that the only thing they needed to come out was the king saying, come out. Do you realize that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood in the fire even longer than they really had to? If they had already, the chains were, or if the things that were holding them were already cut off or already burned off, they could have walked out. But you know what they knew? What you learn in the fire is that I'd rather walk through the fire in his presence than to be anywhere else outside of his presence. That where his presence is, I would rather be even in the fire. They could have gotten out earlier. They could have been in the fire long enough and said, hey, those two guys died getting us in, and look at us, here we are. But they stood in the fire. Why? Because being in the presence of God is greater than anything else. And the only time they came out was when it was time and the king called them out. You're walking through a fire today. You're walking through something. You're walking through flames. You're walking through difficulty. I want you to know today you're not walking alone. There is one who is in the midst of the fire with you. And when you know his presence, you can find a confident joy. Not that you want to stay there any longer than you have to, but it's going to be okay because at just the right time, God's going to call you out. And when he calls you out, he's preparing you for something more. Listen what happens in the end of chapter 3. The end of chapter 3 says this, then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to even higher positions in the province of Babylon. What happened after the fire? Put him in an even place of a promotion. Your God. And here's what it is. How did God know how to promote them? Because he knew he could trust them. And he knew they were willing to honor God. And because they were willing to honor God, he knew what was in them and he knew what he could trust them with. Because if you'll surrender your current position in your life to trust God, then God says, I know I can give you a higher position. And I know I can position. I'm looking for my sons and daughters to be revealed on the earth. You're going to go through testing. and your testing that you're going through is not a God who's against you, not a God who's forsaken you, but a God who says, I'm with you. And you can have the confident joy of David that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And if you're with me, then I can trust you. And if I can trust you, then this momentary struggle is producing something far greater. You might be going through testing right now because God says, I'm not taking something away from you. I'm preparing you for something far greater, and I'm ready to position you, and you're not going to move straight forward into your destiny without walking through this fire or this flame. And I want you to know freedom in the flames. That you can, I don't need to defend myself. I don't need to put up a fight. I don't need to do anything of worry or fear. I can trust because my God is with me. I pray in Jesus' name that God will promote you. When I say promote you, I don't mean just finances and things for you, but God will move you to a place of influence. That God will give you greater influence in this world and in this land, that we would be a voice for the things of God. That we would not defend anything, because let me just say this again. Your God does not need a defense attorney, so resign yourself, okay? Your God doesn't need you to stand up and defend him. Doesn't need you to fight over something. No, your God doesn't need you to defend him at all. He's a big God. He just needs you to trust him and to walk with him and to allow him to produce in you what he wants to do. Let me end with this in Hebrews chapter 2. In Hebrews chapter 2, I want my prayer is that you would have this confident joy. And in Hebrews chapter 2, because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. How many are so thankful that Jesus also became flesh and blood? I could read that into this saying, God knew Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would be in the fire, so he showed up in the fire. He knew where you were, and he put himself right where you are. He put himself in everything that you've walked through. He's already been there. So he became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil who had the power of death. Oh, how many are so thankful that Jesus is greater, that he is able to break the power of the devil who holds the power of death. Listen what that does. Only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slave to the fear of dying. Do you know what he's saying here? That because of who we are in Christ and because of what Christ has done in us, I have now not only been cleansed from the past, my sin is gone, but with it, he took away the fear of dying, which means I can live in a confident joy. What is happening in our world and our culture right now, designed by the enemy, because we wrestle not against politicians and policymakers and people. We wrestle against not flesh and blood, but against principalities and rulers of high places. And what is happening in this last day is hate and fear have collided with each other, and it's in our land. And it's not going away anytime soon. We've had almost a year of this. Afraid of things, and fear has overtaken. Now, fear and wisdom are different. I'm not saying exchange, have wisdom. But can I say to you, do not fear death, because your God who lives in you and is for you has broken the chains and the power of the enemy, and he set the slaves free. They were in captivity. They were captives. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're in a land that they don't belong. They've been exiled there, but they live free even in the land where they were slaves. Why? Because the God they serve is greater than the threat of death. And the God that you serve is greater than whatever threat. The doctor might give you a report. You might walk through chemo. You might walk through things. You might do what you do, but oh, your God is with you in the flames. And let the joy of the Lord be your strength. Let him reveal his glory however he wants to do, because it's not your fight. It's not your victory. The battle belongs to him, and he has already won. And so stand in confidence today that your God is for you, that he will bring about victory. And when you know that, there's a confident joy that fills your heart. Do you know what they said about you? I don't care what they said about me. I know in whom I believe. I know in whom I belong, and I know in whom for I who I behave for. My believing and my belonging and my behaving are all wrapped up in this one man. His name is Jesus Christ. I believe in him, I belong to him, and that's why I behave the way I behave, because I know in whom I believe, belong, and behave, and I am confident in this joy. And since my joy comes from him, Your fire can't take that from me. Since my joy is found in Him, I am confident. Not in my, let me show you, but in my, on my knees. There was a journalist for the Charlie Hebdo paper in Paris that was killed among the others from Islamic terrorists. Months before dying, he was asked, "Do you know that there have been threats against your company and against you?" And his response was this. He said, "Yeah, but life is better lived not standing at someone's demand, but kneeling at the place of my convictions and my belief. That life is better lived not standing in my own and in someone else's demand, but kneeling in my confidence and my belief. And my confidence and my belief is that the Lord is my help, my shelter, my strength. And so I surrender to Him." And when you've surrendered everything to God, what's the world have to threaten you with? "I'm going to take your life. I'm going to take your finances. It's not mine, it's God's. I'm going to take your health. Not mine, it's God's. I'm going to take your life. Good luck, I already gave it away. I already know in whom I believe. And when there's no threat that you can bring, I don't say bring it on. I say, watch my God. I stand in confidence in whom I believe. Surrender." Would you stand with me today? And I'm going to sing this song just one more time through. And Holy Spirit is calling us to surrender. Maybe you're even at home today and you're watching and He's calling you to a place of surrender. Here's what I want you to hear today. God is not wanting you to surrender so He can get something from you. If you think God wants something from you, you're missing it. He is a good God. He is gracious. He is wonderful. He's awesome. God doesn't want anything from you. He has something for you. Your surrender is not God getting something from you. Your surrender is God preparing your heart so that He can give something to you. How many believe that on the day of being with Jesus, that when our eyes are set upon Him and we know Him, that we have found the greatest joy there is in life? And you say, "Pastor, I'm not there yet." That's okay, because I've been growing in this. And the closer I get to Jesus, the less attached I get in the world. Doesn't mean I'm ready to die tomorrow. Don't misunderstand. Don't hear me. But I know my life does not belong to me, because the closer I've gotten to Jesus, the less attached I am to this world. And the less attached I am to this world, the less I live for this world and the more I live for Him. See, there's an exchange that's happening. At some point, there needs to crest. There needs to be a shift. And somewhere in the last 3 years or so for me, I went through a shift. And that shift has been this, "Oh God." Doesn't mean I didn't know You before, but man, the way I knew You then is nothing like I know You now. Didn't mean I wasn't saved then. It just meant, "Oh God, You're taking me from glory to glory to glory." Don't stop. Move straight forward. He's got things for you. He doesn't want anything from you. Oh, what He has for you. And when you know what He has for you, you'll let go. Man, I feel the Spirit of the Lord right now. Somebody needs to let go. When you know what He has for you, you'll let go of the stuff. You say, "No." You'll let it go and say, "God, in You, I found everything I need." Come on, just before we go, I know we got to leave, but I